testing tape for Hewlett-Packard on Thursday, August 3rd, 1995 at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, conference ID HP21A. All sites are now online. At this time, I'll turn the conference over to Brad Porter.
Hello and welcome. My name is Brad Porter, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. We're glad you could join us for our second worldwide telephone conference titled Empowering Users, Getting Information to Make Better Business Decisions Faster. I want to especially thank those of you in Europe and Africa who stayed late to join us in this broadcast. We hope you'll find it helpful and highly informative. From this conference today, we want you to take away valuable information about decision support and data warehousing. More importantly, we want you to understand what decision support is and why it may be important to your business, as well as how one would go about implementing it. Today, we will not go into great detail in any one area. There is just not enough time. But we did include a white paper and a case study in the package you received, as well as a list of additional references and information sources on the last slide of the package. Along with some timely new product and strategy information, this telephone conference is designed so that we can hear directly from you any questions that you may have regarding the material you will hear. Right now, let's take a look at the agenda. For those of you that have received your registration packet from HP, this might be a good time to get it out and have it in front of you. The agenda should be on the second page and is titled Objective and Agenda. For those of you who registered and do not have the package, go ahead and follow along with us, and you should be receiving your packet in the next day or two. It will be a good source of reference information. First up is Amity Hungerford. He is going to take a few minutes to talk about some HP news regarding Oracle database products. Next, we will get into decision support with Nancy Aronosian. Nancy is a program manager here at the General Systems Division. She will first talk about why decision support might be interesting to your organization, an introduction to the topic that will set the stage for our later speakers. Then she will discuss some of the tools and strategies that may come in handy. After that, we'll hear from another program manager, George Ferguson, about the Open Warehouse program and the Intelligent Warehouse product. To finish up, we'll hear from Cecilia Campbell, one of HP's technical consultants who specializes in rolling out decision support applications with customers. She will give you some insight into how decision support is implemented and what she's seen when she has worked with customers. All of that should take about 60 minutes. Then all of us here will stick around for your questions. We will try to answer as many of them as possible in the one-half hour that we have scheduled. Again, this is a telephone conference in the HP 9000 Foundation Series, and we picked a big topic. We will cover some of the basics here today, but I would ask that if there are other areas or topics you want to hear from us about, to write them on your evaluation form and send them in to us. This will help us develop more effective communications in the future. Okay. First on our agenda is Amity, and I'm sure he's got some exciting information to pass on to you. Welcome.
Thank you, Brad. Just 1 week ago, Oracle and Hewlett-Packard announced the availability of a new workgroup server database for HPUX that allows customers to create LAN-based client-server solutions using the proven power and performance of industry-standard Oracle 7. The Oracle 7 Workgroup Server database product is a multi-user database that combines the entry-level performance and functionality of Oracle 7 with the ease of installation and administration normally associated with software running on today's PC LAN network database products. The Oracle 7 Workgroup Server can deploy applications to small and medium-sized businesses as well as to corporate workgroups. The Oracle 7 Workgroup Server comes pre-tuned and pre-configured specifically for the HP 9000 E-Class Business Server computers from Hewlett-Packard and is currently supported in HPUX 10.0 environments only. This is the first Oracle 7 Workgroup Server release to run on a RISC CPU architecture. So keep in mind that if you have a need for a new low-cost database solution that is compatible with current Oracle 7-based applications, the Oracle 7 Workgroup Server database for HP 9000 E-Class servers is a perfect solution. For more information, please contact Oracle or your local reseller. Another super announcement comes from HP and Oracle just a week ago last Monday. As part of an ongoing research and development relationship between HP and Oracle, both companies announced the computer industry's highest open systems TPCC performance benchmark. A 12-way symmetric multiprocessing model T500 corporate business server running the HPUX operating system achieved 5,369.68 transactions per minute at $535 per TPMC while running Release 7.3 of the Oracle 7 database. Release 7.3 is the newest version of Oracle's industry-leading, highly scalable parallel processing database server which is currently in beta test. As a result of the strong technology relationship between HP and Oracle, the new result on HP's model T500 is the highest TPCC performance benchmark for any single server running a Unix-based operating system. As you may or may not know, this is the first TPCC performance benchmark that Oracle has published, and it is released on their leading database and application platform vendor, Hewlett-Packard. HP and Oracle have worked together for many years to cooperate extensively on mainframe alternative solutions where high transaction performance plays such a critical role. This outstanding TPCC result illustrates the company's proven ability to meet our mutual customers' most demanding performance and scalability requirements for mission-critical applications such as decision support and data warehousing. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Brad for more information on decision support.
Thanks, Amity. Now we'll get into our primary topic, decision support. Here's Nancy Arnosian to give us an overview of the subject. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, and good morning. There is a lot of focus in the computing industry today on decision support solutions. The concept of decision support is not new, but there's never been so much activity as there is today surrounding the whole discussion of decision support. Business people are demanding access to their company data so they can make better, more informed decisions faster than they've been able to do so before. So let's look at what's driving this activity. And moving on to the next slide, the challenges of balance. I think we're all aware of the pressures that are facing business today, the ever-increasing competitive and economic pressures as we embrace a global economy, the shortened product life cycles that we're having to deal with, as well as the need for faster time to market. We're operating in an environment of continuous change. I think we all recognize that and feel the pressures of that. In response to this highly competitive atmosphere, companies, in order to stay alive and thrive, see the need to reduce their costs, and other companies are seeing the need to improve the competitive advantage in their own industry. Under both of those needs is still the need to control risk. Companies focusing on competitive advantage are those companies that are making the loudest demand for sophisticated, easy-to-use decision support solutions. Information is key to them. They look to their corporate data combined with their own business expertise to provide information to help them make the strategic decisions that will help them improve their company's performance, profitability, and value. The industry is responding to this demand with an explosion of new technology to support the decision-making process. Moving on to the next slide, evolution to an alternative open systems environment. This picture really gives you an idea of the trends that HP has recognized many companies are making as they move away from host-centric data center environments. But what I wanted to point out here is the second trend, DSS, for decision support, is a trend that allows you to bring value into your data center regardless of what you are running in that data center. It doesn't matter what that environment is, but you can introduce a decision support solution without impacting your production systems, at the same time providing value to your business units. Moving on to the next slide, the new demand for strategic information. As I said earlier, decision support is not new. Executive information systems were available in the early 1980s. They were expensive, they were targeted to a limited audience, but they did not really take off. Recent changes in the market and in technology have caused us to look at decision support systems again. It's become one of the hottest, most sought-after capabilities that businesses are implementing today. The primary business drivers you see here, first and foremost, is the need to make better, more informed decisions faster than people have been able to do so before. Also, the need for information in order to respond faster to changes in one's marketplace. The need to improve customer service. That is an area that many companies are looking at to differentiate themselves in their own market. And also the need to empower knowledge workers. Knowledge workers are executives, managers, financial analysts, brand managers, marketing analysts, loan officers, lots of different folks working in businesses today. They need information to influence the decisions to cut costs, strengthen competitiveness, and improve the bottom line. Also, with this worldwide phenomenon going on of flatter and flatter organizations, the decision-making power is being pushed further and further out into the front lines. And so knowledge workers today are needing the same kinds of decision support capabilities that were reserved for executives 10 to 15 years ago. Moving on to the next slide, who's actually using decision support? This is a quick rundown of some of the industries that have very quickly adopted automated decision support solutions, an example of types of knowledge workers within those industries who have found benefit and value by accessing their decision support system. And the last column gives you an idea of the kind of benefits those knowledge workers have received. I'm not going to go over all of those, but just to give you an idea in the first example, in the packaged goods industry, a brand manager, also known as a product manager, this is, by the way, a real-life example. This brand manager had run a coupon promotion for one of his products in a particular geographical region. About 2 or 3 months after that coupon promotion, he decided maybe he would like to run that promotion in another geographic region, but he wanted to check the profitability first and then see if he could achieve the same kind of profitability in the other region. So sure enough, he did his analysis through his decision support tools, and bingo, it was great for profitability. He decided to run that coupon promotion in the other region and was just as profitable there. So this gives you a quick rundown of who's using the decision support tools available today and the kinds of benefits they're deriving. Moving on to the next slide, let's talk about the IT drivers that are propelling the technology trends. As businesses identify what they must do to improve and strengthen their position in the market, they're also demanding that IT make some changes as well. They're demanding that IT lower their computing and operating costs. But at the same time, they're demanding that the IT organizations provide a computing environment that supports the business drivers that we just talked about. So the technology trends we see here in the right-hand column are very active in the market today and are direct results of IT's response to the business drivers. And let's go over those quickly. I suspect many of you are experiencing those in your own organizations today. The need to lower computing costs is one of the primary drivers behind the overall right-sizing phenomenon that's occurring today, right-sizing from mainframe types of platforms to alternative systems. But at the same time, business is asking the IT organization to provide flexible computing environments, the kinds of environments that can support quick change to marketplace, quick response to market changes. What we see as a result of that need is this migration to open systems, client-server technologies, the move towards object technologies. There is also the need for IT, while they are providing this new flexible computing environment, to preserve the stability of the current mission-critical environment. And so this is providing an opportunity for companies to look at decision support systems as a way to test the waters of this new technology. It doesn't impact their mission-critical systems, but gives them an opportunity to try out the new technology, learn, go through that learning curve of what it's all about, and at the same time provide value to their business units. And then the last point has to do with releasing data from jail. So much of the production data is available in files in formats that are obscure to end users, and it's very frustrating for the end users not being able to access or interpret the information that they could be getting out of the data centers. And so from that need is this overwhelming clamor in the marketplace today to learn more about data warehousing, to implement data warehousing, and to take advantage of all of these newer, easier-to-use decision support tools that have sprung up and blossomed in the marketplace today. So an overall advantage we see here is that the technology trends are aligning with the business drivers for improved decision support. On the next page, we see a framework for an overall decision support solution. George will be talking about this in more detail, but I wanted to give you an overview of what the general components are for almost all decision support solutions. On the left-hand side, you see the sources, the places where the information comes from to go into your decision support system. Primarily, the source will be your operational data. That is the data that's generated by your production systems. Many companies, though, have the need to go outside and purchase data that will help them recognize marketing trends. That data is brought together and comes into a process that we're calling extraction and transformation, and that is directed mostly towards your operational data. I think we're all aware that depending on the application needs, data can take various forms. The date, for example, can take different forms across different applications. You could have date in one application in the Julian date format of day, 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 year, year. You could have it in another format such as month, month, day, day, year, year. Well, an end user needs the date, but he only needs it in one format. The extraction and transformation process is a way of bringing the data together into a consistent format and cleaning it up. And once that process has taken place, the data is loaded into a data store. And data store is a generic name for the place where the data resides that is now available and accessible by your decision support tools. If you look across the bottom, you see sort of a series there of end user tools. There are three primary decision support functions for end users. They are the need to access the data, in this case, accessing it from the data store. They need a way to analyze that data and convert it into useful information. And they need some way of reporting the data. So those are the three primary functions for the end users. But there are a lot of different tools out there that can help them do that. And what we have here at the bottom are different examples of tools that provide, for example, in the first box, data accessing and reporting tools. The OLAP servers. OLAP is the online analytical processing type of function. It is very useful for drilling across data. It can be used in both relational databases as well as multidimensional databases. Spreadsheets can be considered decision support tools, as well as fourth generation languages and GUI builders. In many cases, it's very useful for developers to take these 4GLs and develop specific applications to the needs of your end users. What we have in the middle there is sort of an ellipse for the HP Intelligent Warehouse, but the function of this piece or this component of the overall framework is to provide a window for your end users into your decision support infrastructure, if you will. If you have a single data store, it's relatively easy for your end users to access the information for their decision support tools on their desktop. But as that decision support environment increases, you can have several databases of heterogeneous types. You can have data strung across databases that are spanned across systems. It becomes much more difficult for the end users to keep track of what the data is and where it is. And so having a tool that provides a window for the end user to help manage that access process is very useful. A final piece of this picture, which is I don't think is on your slide, but it's easy to draw an arrow between operational data and the end user tools. Putting a gateway in is sometimes a very quick way to allow access for your end users to get operational data if they only need limited amounts of data. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Moving on to the next slide gives us an opportunity to look at the various ways decision support systems can be implemented. And what I've done here is tried to give an overview in sort of a graph format of types of implementation in terms of flexibility of the functionality and the ease of implementation. And you see there in the lower left-hand corner the GW for gateways. Gateways are relatively simple to implement. It provides you a point-to-point connection from a desktop device over to the operational data. It's very useful if you need very current small amounts of data. However, I would caution you if you look at gateway as being potentially attractive in your environment, look at the needs of your production environment also. If you are running online transaction processing applications, an online update against a file could be postponed until a query against the same file has been completed. So you want to make sure that you're not impacting your production systems by implementing a gateway and actually using it during production times. It is relatively low in the flexibility measurement because it is a point-to-point connection and only allows you access to a specific file and really allows you access to specific pieces of data. In the middle area, we look at rehosting and EIS, which are executive information systems, and also OLAP systems falls into that same category. Rehosting is relatively straightforward. Generally, that takes place when an application, and this is usually a third-party application, such as Information Builders Focus, for example, or the SAS decision support tools, they were originally developed for mainframe environments. But many companies would like to move those applications over to a more economical platform. And in this case, many application vendors have done the port already. So it's very easy for the company to rehost the application from one environment to the other environment. Those types of applications are relatively strong in functionality. In terms of ease of implementation, I have it in the middle, because while your end users will not have to generally go through a very big learning curve once their application has been rehosted, the end user interfaces tend to be very similar in the new environment. Your IT organization will need to go through a learning curve to learn how to operate and be productive in using the newer technologies. The circle above that showing EIS is very similar to rehosting, but in this case, we're bringing up a decision support system to complement, if you will, your production environment. It could be the same or a similar application has been rehosted, but in this case, your end users are going through a learning curve because it is new to them, as well as your IT organization going through a learning curve to learn how to use the newer technology. In terms of functionality, both of those areas, EIS and rehosting, provide basically the same types of functionality. Up in the upper right-hand corner, we have data warehousing, that's DW. And companies who are choosing data warehousing are choosing to develop their own decision support environment. And they face the challenge of integrating all of the different components we just walked through on their own. They have the greater advantage, however, in developing a decision support solution that really meets the needs of their own company. They have the flexibility of going out into the marketplace and finding the various components and doing a mix and match, if you will, to meet the specific needs of their individual business units. And so one might ask, looking at this, gosh, which one should my company implement? There seem to be a lot of different alternatives. Well, that depends on a lot of things. One of those has to do with management commitment to the overall project, an examination of what your existing decision support systems or environment looks like, and also the expertise that's available in your own company to implement a decision support environment from scratch. There are a lot of things there that you might want to look at, and Cecilia will be reviewing some of those later on in today's discussion. Moving on to the next slide, I just wanted to give you an overview of some of the decision support solutions that are available today on HP platforms. You see in the middle there are quite a few companies who have ported their decision support solutions from, in this case, primarily mainframe environments over to the HP platform, and in most cases those are HP UX, but some of those have also been ported to the MPE environment. In the lower left-hand corner you see opportunities for gateway technologies that have been implemented for HP platforms. IBI is Information Builders, Inc., and their EDA SQL product is well known as a gateway in the decision support marketplace. The other ones there from IBM, Microsoft, and SAS Institute are all well known, and the relational database companies have also developed their own gateway technologies as well, and so you see Oracle, Sybase, and Informix listed there. In the lower right-hand corner, there are some companies who have developed executive information systems and online analytical processing systems also for the HP platforms. Some of the more traditional solutions, such as IRI, which is Information Resources, Inc., their solutions have been ported over into the HP UX environment. For your information, those solutions were recently purchased by Oracle and are now part of the Oracle OLAP division. But there are also new products in this environment, such as Arbor Software's S-Base and the Information Advantage's Access and Planning Sciences' Gentium, which you might be, the folks of you in Europe might be familiar with that one. That pretty much wraps up the overall discussion of decision support and the business and technical drivers behind it. At this point, I would like to draw your attention to a case study, which I think you all received as a part of your package. And it's entitled HP Client Server Platform Helps Frozen Food Giant Orida React Nimbly to Market Changes. For those of you not in the United States, I should point out that Idaho is really the potato capital of the United States, and Orida is a company located in Boise, Idaho, that is well known for its potato products. They are a member of the retail and packaged goods industry, and they are facing many of the same issues that companies throughout the globe in other kinds of industries are facing as well. And I think in your slide packet you have a slide that gives a quick overview of what was going on at Orida. Their objectives primarily were to cut costs. They were running a decision support solution. It was a marketing and sales analysis system on an outside time-sharing service, and that analysis system was running on a mainframe. That happened to be an Amdahl 5890-600E. At the same time, they wanted to improve their competitive advantage. They wanted to strengthen their brand and category management by providing better access to data. And they also, because Orida is one of the subsidiaries of H.J. Heinz Company, they wanted to multiply the savings overall by duplicating the same solution across all of the affiliated companies of Heinz. So their solution was to replace the hardware, first of all. They brought that software in-house, so they replaced the Amdahl 5890 with three HP 9000 model H40s. They also re-hosted the software. Now, this is an example of where IRI Information Resources, Inc. had developed their original data server business intelligence software in the mainframe environment and ported it over to HPUX. And I would like to reiterate that that software has recently been purchased by Oracle and is now available from Oracle through Oracle's OLAP division. In addition to rehosting the software, they also linked up their local and remote clients through a TCP/IP network. The benefits that they gained from the overall rehosting was a much greater competitive advantage in their market. They really, truly were able to provide faster analysis of their market data and provide quicker response to market changes. But this is a killer. A 10-to-1 improvement in processing speed, that is incredible, as well as a 10-month payback instead of the originally anticipated 12 months. And then they were able to, through the successes and benefits that they achieved through the solution, they were able to convince the other affiliates of Heinz Company to implement the same solution in their own environments to gain the same competitive advantages. I invite you to take a look at this case study. It goes into these objectives, solutions, and benefits in more detail. It's a very exciting opportunity for companies who have the option of rehosting a decision support application. The other item I would like to draw your attention to is a white paper entitled Decision Support, the Low-Risk, High-Return Approach to Mainframe Alternative Computing. What we have talked about today is the general flow of this white paper, and I invite you when you have the time to look through that and become more acquainted with the business reasons driving decision support solutions as well as the technology and what the various styles of implementation methods are today. So that completes my presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'll pass the baton over to Brad.
Thanks, Nancy. Next on is George Ferguson, who will talk about data warehousing solutions. Welcome, George.
Thank you, Brad. Data warehousing is a re-engineering approach to decision support. In contrast to the other approaches, rehosting gateways that Nancy has talked about, data warehousing really looks at re-engineering the entire decision support environment for your company to maximize competitive advantage. One crucial distinction you need to be aware of as you look at which type of decision support is going to best meet your needs. Data warehousing will not typically lower your IT costs. It may greatly reduce your corporate costs. It may greatly increase your corporate profits, increase revenues. But it is an investment in strategic advantage for your company. If you are looking at something which to do better what you are doing today at a lower IT cost, you would be better suited to look at rehosting your existing decision support applications or using a gateway approach. The proper definition of a data warehouse is a subject-oriented, integrated, time-variant, non-volatile collection of data primarily used for organizational decision-making. What does that mean? Subject-oriented. Typically, our operational databases have been oriented around applications such as order processing, general ledger, payroll. Data warehouse instead is oriented around subject areas, such as customer, product, employee. That's crucial because it means that this is organized in such a way that it can not only be used to answer questions in an application area that we have thought about in advance, but a data warehouse can be used to answer questions that no one has thought of in the past. Integrated. Our operational databases have grown up over time serving a particular application area. The data warehouse, we've brought the data together, we've cleaned it up, we've reconciled irreconcilable codes, we've synthesized concepts. We find in large companies they'll tell us customer is defined differently based on which part of the company you're in. Product is defined in several different ways. A data warehouse, a data modeling effort needs to be done to bring those together so that we can look at what is the meaning of this data for our company. Time variant. A data warehouse has history. We want to be able to do trend analysis. Oftentimes our operational databases don't maintain that history. They only are maintaining the most current value. And so history is very important to a data warehouse. And finally, non-volatile. A data warehouse is typically a read-only environment. This is not for running our business off of. This is for making important business decisions. On the next slide, you can see highlighted some of the differences that I've talked about between the operational and data warehouse environments. You notice that the operational databases, which we use to run our business, are structured. Access is repetitive. We emphasize and we tune for data entry, whether that be batch or online transaction processing. In our data warehouse, we're supporting decision making. We'll use a combination of ad hoc queries and some repetitive reporting, and it's very much end user initiated. The question oftentimes comes, why do I have to replicate my data for a data warehouse? No, a data warehouse is not a replicate database. We have done significant consolidation, cleanup, integration, reconciliation of meanings in addition of history and pulling together this data warehouse. A replicate database is not a data warehouse. It's conceptually different. So why can't we use the same database for doing both operational and decision support? We typically don't have a single logical system of record. We build up our databases around these subject areas. That is a major concern. It's very difficult to optimize performance for both environments. In the transaction processing environment, we optimize for small, quick update transactions. In the data warehousing environment, we optimize for large, complex queries. You don't want the performance hit on your operational systems of those complex decision support queries, and furthermore, you will get extremely poor performance if you try to do it even out of your decision support queries. The inconsistent, incomprehensible data formats we've talked about, different systems maintain different data in different ways, and finally, the lack of historical data. So the data warehouse is a very different concept from our operational database, even though both might be maintained in the same, might use the same relational database management system. Most typically, though, we'll find that our operational systems are coming from mainframe environments, some of them with relational databases such as DB2, oftentimes using older systems, IMS, IDMS, VSAM structured files. Hewlett-Packard's open warehouse, as you can see in the next slide, is an overall framework for providing business solutions in data warehousing to major corporations. It encompasses our framework for how to pull together all of these various pieces that Nancy has talked about, both HP and third-party hardware and software components, into a solution. Furthermore, it includes a full range of consulting methodologies that Cecilia Campbell will talk about after I'm done, for pulling these technologies into a business solution. anyone who believes that a data warehouse is just a fast Unix server in a relational database doesn't understand what data warehousing is about. This is fundamentally a re-engineering project, and it to be used effectively will involve changing roles, even of people within the company, let alone changing technology. Next slide, what is unique about Hewlett-Packard's Open Warehouse? Hewlett-Packard is one of many vendors today offering data warehouses. We've seen a large group of announcements in the past 6 to 12 months about data warehousing. We feel a little, however, about the country singer who said, "I was into country before country was hot." Hewlett-Packard feels the same way about data warehousing. We were into data warehousing before data warehousing was hot. As far as we're aware, we were the first major open systems vendor to pursue this area of data warehousing. With so many companies now pursuing this, though, it does behoove us to talk about what is unique about our offering. Four key areas describe what is unique about HP's data warehousing program: our open systems framework, our breadth and depth of expertise, our managed partnerships, and intelligent warehouse. I'll talk about our open systems framework, talk briefly about our partnerships and intelligent warehouse. Cecilia will talk about our breadth and depth of expertise. Next slide shows our framework overlaid with many, although this is definitely not a comprehensive list, many of our channel partners. The Open Warehouse framework is based on the idea that the true benefits of open systems and client server will only be realized in an environment where you can have full plug and play. You can replace one component with another component. You can choose different user tools for different user groups. As your needs change, if you need to replace one component with another one, you can do that. This gives you the full flexibility of open systems. One of the most pronounced and, I think, long-term advantages of the open systems environment. We see now that the innovation is really taking place in open systems world, and that this ability to plug and play is something that will give you long-term benefits for your company. I won't go through the individual components beyond just saying that you have, obviously, this choice in database and tools. The point that I would want to make, however, is in regard to how we view our managed partnerships. Hewlett-Packard views data warehousing as a solutions program. We're interested in helping you in developing a business solution. As such, we're not just concerned with the components that Hewlett-Packard is providing. Our concern goes way beyond our hardware systems, a software component like Intelligent Warehouse, or even just our consulting. As we move into implementation phase with companies, if there is a problem with one of the third-party components that we're incorporating into the solution, we are not embarrassed, we are not ashamed in any way to go call up one of our partners and say, "Look, we have a problem with a joint customer. We need to solve that problem." Can we guarantee results? No. But we found that we've had reasonably good results when we have done this in the past. We'll call up the president of the company if needs be, because we want to make sure that our customers are happy. Going on to the next slide, data warehousing has resolved many of the issues we've seen in past generations of decision support. It's made information much more broadly available to decision makers. It's dealt with the problems of non-consolidated data, lack of historical data. However, data warehousing is not a panacea. It does not solve all problems in decision support. As we see first-generation data warehouses being deployed, we've seen a next generation of obstacles appearing. It seems like this is what we always go to. We bring people up to a higher level, but that unpeels the next layer of the onion skin to show the next level of problems. What are these next generation issues in data warehousing? First and foremost, high administrative costs in managing the tuning of the data warehouse environment, managing security, managing metadata. Metadata, this is data about data. It could be, how did we derive the data for building our warehouse? What were the sources of data? What algorithms did we have to go through in cleaning up that data and consolidating that data? When was the data warehouse last loaded? What is the relationship between the physical tables, the physical columns, and perhaps even multiple databases that make up a single logical data warehouse to the business view that we want to show end users? All of that is metadata. Even the our column names, our table names, that's metadata. Metadata is crucial to a data warehouse, and yet what we are finding is that individual tools today have their own metadata, and many tools don't have any metadata at all. Trying to synchronize between those various decision support tools, between the databases, between the end user tools, between the extraction tools, this is a crucial next generation issue in data warehousing and will continue to be an issue for the next several years. Non-integrated data warehouse islands. As companies, particularly more decentralized companies, manufacturing companies, other multi-divisional companies have established data warehouses and other decision support systems, they found that they established one data warehouse in one business unit, another in another business unit, another to serve a functional area. Trying to bring these together as a single information resource is a major obstacle in many companies today. However, saying that we're going to do the Big Bang approach and build the data warehouse at corporate level for everybody is maybe a reasonable option for many centralized companies, but it's clearly not realistic for many decentralized companies. We need to find a way to deal with these individual data warehouses, bring them together into a single information resource. Other obstacles we face. Limited user base due to difficulty of use and poor performance. Companies we are seeing making millions of dollars of investment in data warehousing, and yet, what are they getting out of it? Fundamentally, we're trying to empower end users, knowledge workers, help them to make better, faster decisions, as Nancy talked about. However, because of difficulty of use and because of poor performance, many companies are not getting the return on investment that they had hoped for. If poor performance is not just a question of queries coming back more slowly, it's a question that if queries are taking 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour and a half, users are not going to ask the questions that they should be asking. So this is a true question of how much value do you get out of your warehouse. Finally, an obstacle is determining what is in the data warehouse. What data is there? As the warehouse grows, this becomes a major issue. What is the meaning of that data, the business meaning of that data? All of these are concerns as we deploy our data warehouses. On the next slide, you see Hewlett-Packard's Intelligent Warehouse. This is the one software product that is part of the Open Warehouse program. This has become perhaps our most important differentiator for Open Warehouse. Intelligent Warehouse is intended to deal with these issues that we've talked about with first-generation data warehouses. What is Intelligent Warehouse? It's open middleware together with administrative and end-user tools to help make data warehouses easy to manage, easy to use, and enterprise scalable. Intelligent Warehouse itself actually was developed for Hewlett-Packard's own internal use to solve many of these obstacles that I've already mentioned that we saw as we grew our sales and marketing data warehouse. That data warehouse started very small, but grew over time to where today it encompasses around 600 gigabytes of disk, about a 400 gigabyte logical database size, and around 3,000 users worldwide. It's a huge scale environment, but as we've seen, many of these problems are not just present in the large scale environments, but are definitely present in a much, much smaller environments, a tenth or even smaller of that size. What does Intelligent Warehouse do? Effectively, it makes a separation between a virtual or business view of the data warehouse shown to end users from the physical columns, tables, and potentially even multiple databases that make up the data warehouse. Let me come down from the high-level view. Fundamental to the concept of data warehousing is the idea of summaries. If you think about how people use data warehouses, they don't typically ask for what is the invoice amount to Acme Corporation on February 17, 1995. That's detailed transaction data. That's very common operational use of a database. For a data warehouse, however, typical usage might be to look at the big picture, to look at what are product line sales for product line 3X for the first quarter of 1995. That's a typical decision support question. From there, people might want to drill down and ask more detailed questions. That type of usage has some very significant implications for data warehouse design. If I tried to build up that answer, product line sales for first quarter, out of each and every day in the first quarter, each product in the product line, and this is a reasonable size data warehouse, 75 to 100 gigabytes is average these days for data warehouses. I easily have a query which could take me a half hour, 45 minutes, perhaps even over an hour. If, on the other hand, instead of having to build that up from the transaction level data.
This concludes the first side of this cassette. Please turn the cassette over and begin again on side 2.